How's everyone doing?
Good, good.
I just felt it important for us to sing one more song. Just gonna trust it was the Holy Spirit telling me. I just sense there's, you know, God's doing something in this church right now. He's doing something through this series. And last week when Kevin gave his talk, it was a transition point for us in this series. Up to this point, we've been talking about just the indwelling presence of the Spirit in our lives and how if we're a follower of Christ, if you're a Christian, if you claim the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, indwells with inside of you. And there's a certain work the Holy Spirit does when He's in us. If the Spirit of God's in us, He's going to do something. But there's another piece to it, and we started to talk about that last week, and it's talking about being filled with the Spirit, how that all of us may be indwelt with the Spirit if we're a follower of Christ, but not necessarily everyone's filled with the Spirit. Ephesians tells us that we should constantly always be filled with the Spirit of God. And what do we mean by that? We should be empowered by the Spirit of God in our lives. And so this transition where we started really talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit to proclaim the gospel, the power of the Spirit to see healing in this church and in this community, the power of the Spirit to overcome sin, the power of the Spirit to overcome oppression in our lives, the power of the Spirit to transform a community called South Lebanon. And when we start talking about those things, sometimes I think it makes some of us uneasy. But as I prepared this talk today, let me tell you, what I was struck by, and it caught me off guard, is that what I was struck by at first was just the love of God and the provision of God in our lives. And what I mean by that is, think about it. Let's not lose sight of the truth that we've been talking about, that God, who made us, and the person of the Holy Spirit lives within us. Now, that's only God saying that I made you, I saved you, but now I live in you. If that doesn't say the love of God, I don't know what else says the love of God, that He lives within us. But also the provision of God, because He equips us. He equips us for what He calls us to. And we're going to be talking about that today. But he equips us to overcome anything in our lives. There should be nothing, no circumstances are too big in our lives that the Spirit of God lives within us and we're walking in the fullness of the Spirit. There's nothing that is too difficult for us to overcome. And I see the provision of God and, again, the love of God in our lives for that. And we see this happening in the church. We really do. Let's just take a moment to think about it. We're in this series and we're praying, God, show us yourself in a new and fresh way. Manifest the presence of your Spirit in us and in this community in a new way, in a more powerful way. And I think we're seeing this. If you were here on Community Night for Tuesday, you saw a part of that. We just spent some time worshiping and praying, and one of our prayers was simple. God, give us a picture of how you see us. Give us a vision. Scriptures say, you know, we'll see visions, we'll have dreams. So let's ask for it. As we did that, God gave me a couple of visions. He gave me a vision of Rob. He gave me a vision of Vance. I shared it with them. My wife Sarah received a vision from God on how Jesus saw her. It was pretty impactful. I made her weep. Another guy shared a story with me on Tuesday night when he was baptized a little while ago, there was this fire inside of him. He was sitting there sweating because it was just this fire inside of him. And I said, man, that's the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Spirit of God is like fire. A lot of people in scriptures got baptized. And what happened when they were baptized? They were filled with the Spirit. We've seen an increase in prophetic words being spoken at this church. If you were here for the night of worship and you've been here on Tuesday, God is using more of you to speak prophetically to the church. We're seeing this happen in our church. It's starting to happen. So what do we do with it? What do we do with it? We embrace it. We embrace it. And we choose to live by faith and not by fear. Because we all have a choice. We see the Spirit of God working in a different way that we're not used to. We either can live in fear of it, or we can choose to live by faith and say, God, we know it's good because it's from you. So that's what we're challenged to do. And that's why I wanted to sing another song. Something in my spirit was saying that some of us are fearful. That we're fearful about what it's got to do if the fullness of the Spirit gets manifested in us. And let us be reminded today that Jesus Christ was empowered by the same Spirit that lives in us. In fact, everything that Jesus accomplished in his life was through the Spirit of God. Yeah, he was the Son of God who entered this world, but what does Scripture say he did? It said he emptied himself. He put aside his deity, his divine power, And then Jesus was baptized, like all of us should be baptized if we're a follower of Christ. And what does Scripture say happened at his baptism? We talked about this about 3 weeks ago. The Spirit of God descended upon him. And then after his baptism, he went out to the desert for 40 days. He returned. What does the Scripture say? Acts chapter 4. He was filled with the Spirit. Jesus Christ was filled with the same Spirit that we want to be filled with. And it was after that point that Jesus did everything that we know about. All his incredible teachings. All his healings. The walking on the water. All his miracles happened after that, after he was filled with the Spirit. And Jesus said something to the disciples that probably confused the disciples and probably confound some of us this morning. John chapter 14, verse 12. These are the words of Jesus. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus telling the disciples that you're going to even do greater things to me because I'm going to the Father. What does he say later on? The reason I'm going to the Father is so I can send the Spirit of God to be in you. And I know when some of us hear it's like, no way, man. Ain't going to happen. Greater things than Jesus Christ? Don't tell the disciples that's not possible. Don't tell Peter, who was filled with the Spirit, preached the gospel, saw 3,000 people come to faith in Christ in one day. Don't tell the Apostle Paul, who used to murder Christians, but found Jesus Christ, was filled with the Spirit, inspired by the Spirit, wrote over half the New Testament scriptures we have. Don't tell him he will not do great things in this world. Don't tell Matthew, who saw people healed. Don't tell Peter, who raised someone from the dead, that these things don't happen, that we will not do greater things. And don't tell me that God doesn't want to do this in this community. Don't tell me that God doesn't want to manifest his presence in the same way that he always has to a group of people who are open to it, who are willing to allow God to work in them and to gift them how he desires to do. That's what God wants to do in this church, and that's what God is doing in this church. We can't be fearful, though. We need to embrace it. We need to walk by faith. Let's pray. God, may we all just in this moment be confounded by the fact that you live within us. God, may it not be something we take for granted. God, I know it's something that we'll never fully comprehend, that your Spirit, God, is in us. But God, we know your scriptures are true. We've seen the testimonies of the Christian church and in our own lives that this is true and it's a reality, God. So we receive it into our lives. And God, I ask that you would help us to understand the unique work that your Spirit does in us, how he equips us, how he empowers us to accomplish your will and your mission in this world, God. So God, we just give these next moments to you. I ask that you would speak through me, that you allow me to teach not with wise or persuasive words, but as the Apostle Paul said, with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So may I speak truth here today. Give me the ability to enlighten the scriptures for all to receive. And God, open our hearts to receive a specific message and a specific word from you here this morning. Everybody said, amen. Well, all that to say, we're going to talk about gifts of the Spirit today. If you have a Bible, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. If you don't have a Bible, pick a free one up at the welcome desk. If not, it'll be on your screen for you to follow along with. Let's look at the first three verses. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit. No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This is Paul's introduction to the Corinthian church. The next three chapters in 1 Corinthians are about the gifts of the Spirit, and this is his introduction to them. And I think it's important to note the first sentence of his introduction is now about gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I don't want you to be uninformed. Other translations are a little more direct. They say, I don't want you to be ignorant. Paul's purpose in writing this section of scriptures is so that none of us are uninformed or ignorant to the spiritual gifts that God has for us. Skip down to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one as He desires. I've got a lot of fill-in-the-blanks today, so we're going to go shoot through those. And the first one is going to come from the verse 11 where it says, all these are work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one. To each, we're talking about Christians, to each one. The first thing is, everyone receives spiritual gifts. If you're a follower of Christ, the Spirit of God lives within you. He has given you spiritual gifts. And if you look at the screen, Tracy, if you want to pop up, there's a list of spiritual gifts that we see in Scripture. And they're in places like 1 Corinthians here, Romans, Ephesians, 1 Peter, the primary places that you see the listing of the spiritual gifts. And these are differing opinions here, but you're hard-pressed to say that these are the only spiritual gifts there are. We're not saying that Scripture goes and lists every single possible spiritual gift that one can have, but these are the ones we know about as listed in Scripture, so I think that's a good starting point. So just take a moment and look at that list, and some of you may be saying, maybe that's the gift that I have, or you know, man, that's my spiritual gift, and others of you might be looking at that list right now, and I see some blank stares, and you're probably thinking, I ain't got any of those gifts. He just said everyone has a gift, and I don't recognize any of those in my life. Be certain that if you are a follower of Christ, the Spirit of God has given you at least one, most likely more than one, spiritual gift. And the important part about understanding the gifts is not that everyone has one, but as you look at that list, you'll see different types of gifts listed. You may see the gift of healing and the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. And then sometimes you might in your mind categorize other gifts like the gift of administration and the gift of service and the gift of hospitality. And I think a lot of us naturally group these gifts in two different sets of groups. But what you have to realize is that all gifts are supernatural. Every single gift listed up there is supernatural. Doesn't matter if it's the gift of ministration or it's the gift of healing, because it's the gift of the Spirit. We talked about it with the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces the fruit. The Spirit of God gives us these gifts. The manifestation of any of these gifts, if we're truly operating in the gift of the Spirit, it's supernatural. It can't be done or accomplished without the Spirit of God in us. And that's a distinguishing mark that we have to make sure we're all on the same page here, is that there's a difference between a talent and a spiritual gift. I think a lot of us think of gifts, and maybe we just use the term loosely, but we're saying, man, that person really has the gift for music. That person has a gift for math or something like that. Those probably are talents. And there's some similarities, don't get me wrong. Talents and gifts, there's some similarities. The similarity, in fact, they're both God-given, right? God, who knit us together in our mother's womb? God did. Who put our chromosomes together one by one, or however that works? God did all that. Who gave us our intellect? God did that. God gave us certain talents. He made us all in certain ways. So they're similar in that the gifts and the talents both come from God, but they're very different in that the gifts can only be given by the Spirit of God. When I was in second grade, let me give you an example. It might help you out if you haven't quite clicked on yet. When I was in second grade, my mom got a call from my teacher. And she said, you know what, Jeff's been a really good student up to this point, but he just took a math test and he got 0 out of 20 on it. And she goes, but the funny thing is, the reason he missed them all, because it was an addition test and he actually multiplied all the answers. And then the teacher asked my mom, well, how did he know how to multiply? And my mom's like, I really don't know. And she's like, the only thing I can think of is he watches his brother do flashcards. God's given me a talent and ability with numbers. Doesn't make sense. Some of you are like, I'm even close to having that. You probably failed math 4 times in high school. But for me, I watched my brother just do multiplication, and I was able to figure it out in the second grade. It's a talent that God, he's wired me. He's given me the intellect and ability to do things. That's not a spiritual gift. I've had that before, long before I was a Christian. God's given me new gifts since then. He's given me the gift of teaching, which I'm growing in. He's given me the gift of faith, which I'm growing in. Also, it's no surprise that I have the gift of administration. Don't be surprised at some of your talents, that God supercharges them in some way when you become a Christian. He releases gifts in you. It's not unusual that he may take some of your talents, but then with the power of the Spirit of God, use them for his glory. So it's no surprise that I have an analytical mind, and that God has also given me the gift of administration. But they are different. Gifts of the Spirit can only come from the Spirit of God. All right, so what are the purpose of these gifts? Faith and service and prophecy and healing. What are the purposes? I want to give us 3 purposes. In verse 7 from 1 Corinthians 12 said, they're for the common good. I want to read a couple other scriptures that kind of illuminate what common good means. That's kind of broad. But 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11 tells us a lot about the purpose of spiritual gifts. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let me stop there for a moment. And just the term spiritual gifts in Scripture, if you were to translate it, the literal translation is grace gift. All the gifts we have, it's the grace of God that we're saved, and it's the grace of God the Spirit lives on us, and it's by the grace of God that he actually gives us gifts for these purposes we're about to go over. And so it says, be stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks with the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And one more verse, 1 Corinthians 14:12. So it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. So from these verses, I think we have 3 things, and you got 3 blanks in there for what are the purpose of the gifts. And the first purpose of the spiritual gifts are given to equip us for ministry. God gives us spiritual gifts to equip us for ministry. Now, when I say for ministry, I don't mean for vocational ministry like you, like me. I happen to be in vocational ministry. I get paid to do what I do. God will be calling some of you to vocational ministry, no doubt about that. My hope is that God calls some of you to plant and pastor a church someday. But for the most part, God's not going to call most of us, most of you, to vocational ministry. But yet, God still gives us gifts for ministry. And by that, I think of people like Rob Goddard. Rob Goddard has the spiritual gift of teaching and prophecy. And he uses those gifts to develop our curriculum for Tuesday nights. I think he's doing a great job. I think he's operating in his gifts for that. But yet, he's not on staff and doesn't get paid to do that. I think of Tracy Shirky. I believe you have the gift of serving. She loves to serve around here anytime she can. It's no surprise that she serves at the King's Food Pantry many hours a week, 55 degrees in that room, freezing, lifting heavy boxes. You think she does that for her own fame and glory? No. She's got the gift of serving, so she's using it for ministry that God's given her. Each of you are called to ministry. And I hope that's one of the light bulbs that goes on here this morning, is that you realize that you are called to ministry. That's one of the reasons God has gifted you through his Spirit. The Great Commission tells us that simply. What's the Great Commission? One of the parting words of Jesus. Go into all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all to obey everything that I have taught. That's a commission for all of us. God has called all of us into ministry. God has a plan for this church. This church was planted with a plan to reach the village of South Lebanon and the surrounding communities for the glory of God, for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's the mission of this church. That's why we exist, and God has called you to be a part of that. And then one of the reasons God has gifted you is so that mission is fulfilled in your life. It's what I call the sweet spot. Have you ever found that? I'm guessing not a lot of you have, but it's that place where your spiritual gifts are being used in a way for ministry, and you just know it's that sweet spot in life where you know that God's giving you this unique gift, and you're serving in a certain capacity, and they line up. And if you've ever been there, you're like, there's no other place I would rather be. I feel like God is using me for His glory in a significant way, because my gifts are being used for a specific call to ministry that He has. And what we're going to do is try to find out what those are. That's what we need to do for all of us, is to understand what those gifts are and how they line up. But it's a great place to be in that sweet spot. Next, spiritual gifts are given to build up the church. That's what 1 Corinthians 14:12 says. Now, some of you may be thinking, I think spiritual gifts have been given to mess up the church. No, they've been given to build up the church. Sometimes they do mess up the church. Is that God's fault? No, obviously that's our fault. Spiritual gifts tend to mess things up when we use them for our own purposes. When we don't use them for the way that we use it for our own personal advancement, our own personal gain, or our own personal, what our personal mission might be apart from God. When we start to do that, they tend to mess up the church quite well. But as verse 14, 1 Corinthians 12 says, the purpose of the gifts is to build up the church. Again, that's why Paul said, don't be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. This is important stuff. You have to know what your gifts are. You have to use your gifts. They're going to build up the church. Next, spiritual gifts are given to bring glory to God. That was 1 Peter 4:10. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. When we're using our gifts for ministry, when we're using our gifts to build up the church, when we're not using our gifts for personal gain or to feel good about ourselves, what happens? God is glorified. God is glorified because we're doing what He desires us to do. In part, we're doing what God created us to do. How many in this room feel like you're still trying to figure out, what's my purpose in life? Yas raised his hand. Oh, I know. We'll talk later, Yas. No. You know, what is God? Well, I mean, I love Jesus. I know I'm saved. I feel more in love with God than I have. But I don't get it. What's the whole purpose for? It's when those gifts come together and we use them the way God designed for us, and He gets glorified through that. And again, that's one of our marching orders for 2013, I believe. What more important thing do we have in our life than to be concerned about the glory of God? Do you have anything more important than to glorify the God that created you? Again, I'll push you all year long and beyond. If you think anything in your life is more important than bringing glory to God, you are deceived. There's nothing more important. We cannot bring glory to God if we're not using the gifts that He's already deposited in us. We will not bring glory to God if God has this great mission to redeem this community, but yet it doesn't happen. Why? Because we're all sitting down on our hands, not using the gifts that God has given us. All the gifts of the Spirit, every single one. I'm not just talking about going out and serving the community. If you've got the gift of serving, serve, serve, serve. But we need all the gifts. We need the gifts of tongues as much as we need the gift of serving. Do you believe that? I believe that in all my heart, that we need all the gifts operational in this church. And we've got enough people here now that we should see all the gifts operational in this church. When we do, and that will happen, God is going to be glorified in a significant way. Now, we've been talking throughout this series how the Spirit of God does certain things in our lives, like the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces fruit in our lives, but yet we have some cooperation, some work that we need to do, that the Spirit wants to produce fruit in our lives. What's our role? Ultimately, our role in seeing fruit produce is to surrender to the working of the Spirit in our lives. The same is true with the gift of the Spirit. God has gifts for us. There's something we need to do. We have a role in this. And this really is, quite frankly, a little more active role than you will see with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is more of a submission. There's definitely a piece of submission and surrender to gifts of the Spirit, because we've got to surrender our fears if we're going to walk in the gifts God has for us. But there's an active role that we have in using the gifts that God has given us. So there's three things that I want to talk about as we begin to wrap up here. What is our role? First is this: to know which spiritual gifts we have been given. It's a good starting point, right? Pop that list back on the screen, Tracy, if you could. we've got to know which of these gifts that we have. And this sounds like a shameless plug, but I'm doing it again. You need to come on Tuesday night, because it's about all I have to say on this topic today. Tuesday night is totally dedicated to discovering the spiritual gifts that you have. That's all we're doing. We no other agenda. So if you want to know what spiritual gifts you have, you need to come on Tuesday night, community night at 6 o'clock. Now, you can figure that out on your own, but it's better to do it together. We're going to spend an hour and a half almost working on that. If you can't come and you don't want to come, you need to be in prayer. At least start there. Be praying. God, ask, what are the gifts that you have given me? First step, what gifts has God given me? We have to know that. That's an obvious one. But what else is our role? Number two, to intentionally seek new gifts. Listen to these two scriptures. They're really short, but they're really, really clear. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. These two scriptures say the same thing. Eagerly desire. Other translations say covet spiritual gifts. The picture here is that God wants us to seek what gifts he has for us. We can sit back and wait and hope that he's just going to tell us, and that happens in some circumstances. But we're supposed to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And this scripture says greater gifts. What the heck does he mean by greater gifts? Aren't all gifts equal? Well, apparently they're not, because there's greater gifts. And one of the greater gifts is listed in 14:12, I think that's where it came, 14:1. Prophecy is listed as a greater gift. Teaching is probably a greater gift. Word of wisdom may be a greater gift. Healing may be a greater gift. Do those make the people who have them great? No. Do we want them because they make us great? Well, no. Who did Jesus say would be the greatest in heaven? Those who made themselves like children. Those who served one another. Those are the types that are going to be greatest in heaven. So it's not about being great, but the scriptures tell us, and we want to obey the scriptures, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Hey, and while you're at it, try to have the greater ones. I know in my life, one of the gifts that I'm seeking, and I've been seeking for 3 or 4 years now, I think God's starting to give it to me, is the gift of evangelism. I want the spiritual gift of evangelism. Now, we all have a responsibility. We all have a obligation. We all have the privilege, however you want to frame it, to share the gospel with our friends in the community. We all have that. We're all supposed to do that. But there's a spiritual gift of evangelism, the gift that when you speak the gospel in private or public, that the person listening, just they believe it. Alex and I could share the same gospel message, but if one of us has the gift of evangelism, they're going to believe that person. Don't ask me how it works. That's just how it works. Think of Billy Graham. We all know Billy Graham. He's more than just the spiritual gift of evangelism, but he's a classic example. Was he this great preacher? Have you ever heard him preach? Absolutely not. He was a good preacher. He was not that articulate. I mean, boy, man, he's a simple man. He shared the simple gospel message. But God gave him the spiritual gift of evangelism so that when he spoke it, stadiums would flood and receive Jesus Christ. I want that gift, so I'm seeking it. I'm praying that God gives me that gift. Why? Because God's called me to a role to be one of the people, not the only one of the people in this community, to preach the gospel. I'm here to see the gospel transform lives. They're not going to be transformed without people who have the gift of evangelism. Some of you need to be praying for the gift of evangelism too. We need to seek spiritual gifts. We'll talk about it next week. Next week's tongues and prophecies. Don't miss it. But I have the gift of tongues. I'll explain it all next week if you're not familiar with it. Why do I have it and maybe you don't? I've asked for it. That's it. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Last week, how much will the Father give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? Don't be afraid to ask God for the gifts that you want to have. Now, we have to have a balance here, right? It's one of our core values. What does 1 Corinthians 12:11 say? Ultimately, the Spirit distributes gifts as he desires. He's not a genie in a bottle. God, give me the gift of evangelism. No, but there's a balance there. We don't always know the tension. Seek them. Go after them. Get the great gifts. At the same time, be happy and rejoice in whatever gifts that God gives you, because they're all good gifts. They're all given to build up the church. They're all given to bring glory to God. But we have to desire new gifts. If we want to be a community that God wants us to be, we all have to be seeking new gifts. And then finally, we need to grow in the use of spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. And Timothy was a guy that came to faith in Christ later on in life. But God had a plan for him. God set Timothy apart to go plant churches. And so the Apostle Paul kind of mentored and fathered Timothy in a lot of ways. And he wrote a couple letters to Timothy. And there's some things that he said in there about spiritual gifts that I think we all need to hear and understand. I know I do. The first one is 1 Timothy 4:14. So this is kind of like a father speaking to a son. Kind of receive it that way. Do not neglect your gift. We're talking about the gift of teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid hands on you. We need to use the gifts that God's given us, or they just lie dormant. Doesn't mean they're not there, but if we don't use them, I mean, they just sit there. I don't know how to describe it other than, you ever get a Christmas sweater, like with a big Santa on it, right? It sits on the shelf except for one day out of the year you bring it down because your wife makes you, and you put on the sweater and you wear it during the Christmas season. Other than that day, it just kind of just sits there. It's not being used, and what does it do? It just kind of eventually just moths get to it, and it's of no value. Same as with spiritual gifts. They're in there. You have them, but we need to use them. Paul reminded Timothy, use the gift that you receive. So one of the things I tell you today is, know your gifts, but use the gifts that you have received. Use them. And he also gives them some other good advice. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. We grow in our spiritual gifts. We're given them. The Spirit of God gives you a spiritual gift, but we grow in them. I hope that I grow in the gift of teaching over time. I hope that the spiritual gift of teaching looks better in my life 5 years from now than it does today. I hope it looks better actually 3 months from now than it does today. But Paul is telling Timothy, fan them in the flame. Fan them in the flame. Not only use them, get to know them, understand them. I told you that I've been praying for the gift of evangelism for 3 or 4 years now. You know what else I do to try to fan that in the flame? I read a lot of books on the gospel. I know what the gospel is, but I read a lot of books just about the gospel because I'm trying to fan it into flame, trying to build up in that gift, to understand that gift, because I want to be like Jeremiah, and I'm sure a lot of you do too, who said, you know, it's like a fire in my bones, the word of God. If I don't shout it or get it out, I am going to blow up. So what I do, I try to fan that gift in the flame by reading as much as I can about the gospel. And I walk by faith that one day God is going to, in a fuller extent, and hopefully in a significant way, release the gift of evangelism in my life. Same is true for us. We need to fan them in the flame. We need to know them, number one. We need to commit it to using them. We need to grow in them. We need to fan them in the flame. Guys, when this happens, wake up. Some of you are sleeping. It's ticking me off today for some reason. When this happens, it is unstoppable what God can do when this happens, when you're using these gifts that God has given you. I'm in this to be blown away, to see God move in this community in a significant way. I am not satisfied with 85 people sitting in this room on a Sunday morning. Maybe you are. If you are, it's probably not the church for you, and I mean that with all my heart. I am not satisfied that there's 3,000 people living within walking distance of the building, and they're not in here, and they don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That will happen when we put away the bullcrap, we put away the fear, we ask God, God, how have you uniquely gifted me? God, what are you calling me to do in ministry? God, are you calling me to speak in tongues? By God, I'm going to do it.
God, are you calling me to walk by faith no matter what it looks like? By God, I'm going to do it. When that happens, guys, hold on. Hold on when that happens. And this is, God gives us these gifts. It's an unstoppable force. What does God say about the church of Jesus Christ? The gates of hell will not come against it. Nothing can prevent the gospel from moving forward except for us. By not cooperating with the Spirit of God. By not seeking spiritual gifts in our life. By not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. By being afraid instead of walking by faith. That's what will stop this church. The Spirit of God won't stop it. We will. So the call for us today is to embrace it. To seek after it. Come on Tuesday night, please. Find out what your spiritual gifts are. Most of you don't know. 95% of you have no idea what your spiritual gift is. I'm not condemning you, but I'm calling you to know what it is. So that you can walk in it. So that you can bring God glory through it. I don't know any other way to live. I don't know about you. but maybe you think I'm this crazy guy standing on stage walking back and forth. I don't know how else to live. I can't imagine living another way. Like, I don't want to have regrets. That came up Tuesday. I don't want to be a year from now, 2, 3, 5 years from now, and look back and like, I missed it. Don't miss what God's doing in this church right now. Don't miss what he's doing right now. Don't miss what God has for you. Receive it. Understand it. Fan those gifts into flame. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. He's truly a gift. God, I thank you that we're not left to our own devices. It would look ugly, God, in all our lives. It does look ugly in our lives, God, when we do things our own way, when we use our own intellect and our own rationale to live life and make decisions. God, help us to be a people that are fully surrendered to the presence and the power of your Spirit in our lives. Father, help us to be a community that truly, eagerly desires spiritual gifts. God, help us to be a community that walks by faith, not by fear. Father, I thank you that you're kind, that you're compassionate. God, I thank you that you're patient in my life. God, I thank you for the many years that I neglected calls that you had on my life because I was afraid, God. But I thank you that, as your scripture said, you never leave us, forsake us, or abandon us. So those that are in this room, I want you to hear that if you're feeling like maybe you're missing the boat, you're feeling some conviction right now that you're not seeking to understand and to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God within you. Know that I've been there and know that he is a God of grace, that you're covered by his grace right now if you're in Jesus Christ. But he's calling you. He's calling you up to live a new way, to walk in that. So receive that conviction in your life. Don't allow it to be condemnation. Again, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And God, may you give us a burning, passionate desire to see your gospel transform this community. God, I pray that 85 people will double and turn into 170, and that will turn into 340 and 680 and 1360. God, I pray that you will just continue to double and to move in this community, God. And then it's all said and done, Father. I pray that in our lives, no matter what our gifts are, how they're used, that we won't point to that, God, but we'll point to you. We'll point to your love. The only explanation of what happens in our lives and in the movement of the gospel is Jesus Christ. There's no other explanation. As we go into a time of communion, guys, communion table is open to anyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, it doesn't matter what your background is or what denomination you may or may not have been a part of. Welcome to share in communion. Let's be reminded, though, what this is all about and why we walk up here to take communion. The bread represents Jesus' body that was broken for us. Without the sacrifice, we have no grace, we have no life. And the juice represents the new covenant, his blood that was shed for us. This is a covenant, again, not of condemnation, but a covenant that's marked by grace and love and peace. So as you come forward, prepare your hearts just to be reminded and to thank Jesus Christ for what he has done for you. And we'll start communion from the back, come down the center aisle. We'll go out the outside. Also spend some time in the next few minutes just praying about some of the ways that God may have uniquely gifted you. And if you have some fears about the gift, I'm going to continue and encourage you to lay those aside, to open your hearts to God, to speak into you how he has gifted you.